our Lord, our Creator, our gracious Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because we are part of your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, the name above all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. The name is written on the foreheads of all of us, O Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, the eternal Holy Spirit, the Lord who sees, the Lord who listens, the Lord who speaks, the Lord who watches over his children, the Lord who protects his children, and the Lord who shields his children, and the Lord who fights the battles for his children. Lord, we thank you. We bless your holy name. All the earth will be filled with thy glory, and there is no one stopping it, O Lord. With or without us, thy perfect will come to pass. Lord, may you show thy grace and mercy for all of us to be part of it. We are not worthy, but Lord, worthy is the Lamb. We are nothing without the vine, and we are the branches. But Lord, may you bless us. May you speak to us that our feet is rooted deep down with agape love. Not focusing on the branches, the beauty of the leaves, but Lord, the root that is hidden below the sand, that cannot be seen by the world, that cannot be seen by the outward appearance, that cannot be seen by the eyes of the flesh, nothing but the eyes of the spiritual journey that we have. We walk by faith, O Lord. May you help us to live a life that pleases thy sight. May you bless us to receive thy word. May you circumcise our heart that we may stand blameless in thy presence. O Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, may you grant us the knowledge and wisdom of knowing you, to know the love of God, to serve you with all our heart, to serve you with all our mind, to serve you with all our soul, and to prepare as a church, as one family of God, that we reach a place where the church becomes fruitful to thee, O Lord, in this land where we are planted. Lord, we thank you for all the souls around us in this nation. And Lord, we thank you for all the overseas brethren who are joining us. And Lord, we thank you for all the faithful servants of God that you have blessed us with in our lives. We bless all of them in Jesus' name. Lord, for us, O Lord, may you help us to do your work in this land where we are established, to be the light bearers, to spread the gospel of peace, to preach the gospel to the poor, to make them spiritually rich according to thy grace and mercy, O Lord. Lord, we pray, as we all stand here as an empty water pots of stone built upon the chief cornerstone, the precious lively stone. You are the potter who made us into clay, and you are the potter who made the clay into a vessel. Lord, may you fill us with your spirit. We don't want anything else. And our church, our ministry, O Lord, we cannot go anywhere without thy presence. So Lord, we ask you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, may you fill all of us with thy Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes with the fruits, and you bless all of us with the gifts for the souls who do not know Christ yet. But Lord, for us, as for us and our house and our family, we will be filled with the Holy Ghost to serve the Lord. So Lord, may you bless us, and may you speak to our hearts, and may you take complete control of our words, our heart, our mind, our everything, that we may stand as the children of God, the true worshippers of God, to please thy Holy Ghost. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. You may be all seated. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 15, verse 1 to 4. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are all thy ways. Thou King of saints, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 1 says, seven angels having the seven plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Angels who are about to bring the plagues, they have to be filled up with the wrath of God. Can the Lord bring plague by filling them up with love? The Bible says they are filled up with the wrath of God. But God is love. Amen? God is love. Hebrews chapter says, our God is also a consuming fire. And the words of life gives us the revelation. The angels are filled up with the wrath of God, so that they can carry out the work. Ezekiel, the watchman, he was filled up by the Spirit of the Lord, which set him upon his feet. And then the Lord sent him to serve him. So the Lord reminded us last Sunday, open your mouth wide, I will fill you. Amen. And we know the word mouth represents the manifestation of the thoughts of your heart. The Lord says, open your heart, I will fill in. And why the Lord declares the word mouth? Because mouth is the sign of your proclamation of your faith, utterance. Speak the gospel boldly, as Apostle Paul says. If we do not speak, if we keep everything in the heart, the water pot is actually covered by your own thoughts. It's not open. Utterance was the power the apostles received to carry out everything for the Lord by the Spirit of the Lord. Utterance. So now the angels are filled up with the wrath of God. How they are going to perform the plague? Are they going to design something or make something? They will just speak the word. Because the fundamental design of our Almighty is all about speaking the word. Utterance is the life that departs from the mouth. That can be either life or death. Amen. 2 Sundays ago, we studied this in Hebrews chapter 4:12. The word of the Lord is a double-edged sword. It separates soul and spirit, joints and marrows, thought and intents. Last Sunday, we started with the topic on the water pots of stone. The Lord intentionally kept the word stone, because the word stone is very important in all our lives. We are also called the dust of the earth. And the Lord, what He does, take the dust, add water, make it into a clay, and then He will design the clay into a pot. Then the water pot is called water pot. But still, if you look very carefully, it is nothing but a pot. But still, the Lord allowed this to be called as water pot, so that you have a token to find the true water. When we are born in sin, when we are born with iniquity holding on to our lives, actually we are born to die. Amen? We all think we are born to die. But do you know that we are born dead? The Bible says we were walking dead. What does it mean? You were born dead. Until you find Christ, you are dead. I am dead. We are all dead. So currently in this world, as much as there are billions of people, but when the Lord opened His eyes, He will only see those who accepted His truth, walking in the way of holiness. They will look alive in His sight. Everyone else who are drifting away from the way of holiness will be looking like walking dead. Not to be dead, walking dead. So the Lord says, you are born, you think you live, but you are dead. It is called water for, you think the name you gained it, but there is no water. And the Lord says, there is life and there is the life. There are Christ and there is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. There are churches, but there is only one church. There are brides, but there is only one bride. So the Lord says, there are many in this world. People have confounded the truth to the extent it cannot be called truth anymore. Even a 0.01% compromise to the word of the Lord is not truth anymore. So the Lord wants all of us to seek the water, the true water, and we shall continue today the verse that we did not complete last Sunday, which was meant to be finished today. Let's turn our Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. I will read from verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and the clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken into pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Stones filled the whole earth. Let's continue to read two more verses. Psalm chapter 72 verse 19. We read this. I will read from verse 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. We are called to be part of the Lord's plan for the Lord's glory to fill the whole earth. Amen. On the other side, there is also another filling going on. Because double-edged sword always shows us two different sides. There is a new holy city, Jerusalem, is being built. And there is a Tower of Babel also being built. Building is going at the same time. But when the Lord comes, he will destroy one. So now, Razonan, please load the first image. Let's remember when Jesus told them, fill the water pots with water. This verse we should learn, make the white garments white. Make the lively people truly alive. Make the Christians as the true worshippers of God. And the Lord says, spiritually it reflects on different revelation in our walk with him. So let's start from here. You can turn off the light. Yes, turn off. Yes. I prepared this so that we focus on the words of the Lord, because there are so many verses we are going to meditate today. The double-edged sword that is placed at the center. So, for the word of God is thick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen? Of the heart. This is Hebrews 4:12. when the Lord explains how the word of the Lord functions, how the word of the Lord goes to the battle as a sword. But there is no mentioning about the one who carries the sword. The sword does its work. It doesn't need anyone to do its work. It needs someone to hold the sword. Not wield the sword. Hold the sword. Amen? Stand firm in the word of the Lord. It is the only way we hold the sword of the Lord. Now, let's remember these words in our heart. Soul, spirit, joints, marrow, thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen? Now, let's keep it as it is. Let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, Brother Clement, please read for us. Verse 22 and 23.
Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
Amen. In these two verses, the attributes, the beauty of the Holy Spirit is mentioned as the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith. We know all these words in our heart. When the Lord says, fill the water pot with water, when the Lord told Ezekiel, prophet Isaiah, and the Lord says the Spirit entered into the servant of God and set him upon his feet, when the Spirit is filling up to the brim, we are actually filled with all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, up to the brim. Amen? All. When all the fruits of the Holy Spirit is filled in our lives, then the water overflows from our head. When the overflow happens, the Lord will decide what is going to come out of this pot. That is where the calling of the Lord comes in. The Lord says, diversified gifts. To one knowledge, to one wisdom, to one prophecy, to one interpretation, to one discerning. The Lord decides how the pot will overflow. Why? Who filled the pot? He. And who will control the overflow? He. And the Lord says, be filled with my Spirit. Ask for the Spirit to fill you, because the cap that is on the top of the water pot must be removed by ourselves. Amen? As we learned from Friday Bible sharing. We are called to do certain things by self, because we are created in His image and likeness. And when we remove that cap, when the Lord fills our life with the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit is filled in our lives, when it overflows and the Lord makes us to be fruitful, to be served in His feast. Now, the gifts of the Holy Ghost we know in 1 Corinthians. Now, let's remember this beauty of the Holy Ghost, the gift, fruit of the Holy Ghost. Let's turn our Bible to Romans 1:29. I thank the Lord, the same verse was read in the last Bible study, which I prepared for today as well. Romans 1:29. We start from verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Please see how the verse starts. Being filled with all unrighteousness. The word being filled is applicable to verse 28, 29, 31 and 32. Because the sentence is not completed until the verse is ended. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Amen? Worthy of death. When you tell the Lord, Lord, I am not worthy, it means, Lord, you are my life. I am not worthy. You are on the other side. I am saying, Lord, I was a sinner. I was worthy of death. But Lord, you pulled me in to the side of life and the Lamb is worthy, you are worthy, because of that, as long as I have you in me, I will find life. The verse says, if we are filled with any of this, we are worthy of death. And it ends, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You see how strongly that verse ends. It's not just about doing it, but having this assertiveness, that pleasure in doing such things, and that makes our lives to be worthy of death. Now, on one side, Galatians 5:22-23, it tells us what we must be filled of. On the other side, Romans 1:28-32 tells us what you should not be filled of. Because being filled with this is this will result in death. But actually, we are born as death. The Lord says, you are born being filled of all of this. And the Lord is circumcising us to move us into the side of life. And that is the perfection that we are going through in our lives. Amen. So now, these two verses are actually exactly placed on the two sides of the double-edged sword. On one side, to be filled by the water. On the other side, to be filled by our very own waters. Now, let's turn our Bibles to read about what the Lord says concerning the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22-23. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen. Now, I want you to keep this verse at the center, at the double-edged sword. On one side, we have Galatians 5:22. On the other side, we have Romans 1:29. At the center, the Lord says, reminds us, had put all things under his feet. Mary was at his feet, listening to his word, when Martha was complaining. And the Lord said, Martha, Martha, she is doing the right thing. She was at the feet of Jesus. And here the Bible says, all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things of the church. Talks about feet, suddenly goes to the head. All things are under his feet, but in the same verse, it says, he gave him to be the head of the church. If anyone wants to be a master, let him be a servant. The Lord washed the feet of his disciples. Now the Lord says, he is the head of the church, and the church is nothing but his body, and that body is filled with the fullness of him. Filled in all. You see how beautifully the verse ends? The fullness of him, the filled all in all. The fullness of him filled all in all. We are called to be filled by the fullness of him. Not by Romans 1:29, but by Galatians 5:22. So now when the Lord says, bring the water pots of stone, fill the water pot with water, it was exactly six. Amen? Six represents men. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Colossians 1:24. Colossians 1:24 brings the same word church, but see how Apostle Paul speaks now. 1:24 says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, I am made a minister. Now, 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, you see, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. 1:24 says, I am suffering, but all my persecutions, it fill up behind my flesh, which is for the Lord's body, which is the church. So Apostle Paul compares his sufferings, persecutions, as part of his service to the Lord, as part of the process filling up the church. When Prophet Joel said that in the end times, the Lord will pour out his spirit upon the earth. Amen. All the flesh will be filled. Now, when Jesus said about water pots, and what Apostle Paul talks about the church, We have Colossians 1:24 talks about church fill up for his body's sake, and here Ephesians 1:22, Jesus Christ, his body, he is the head, and his fullness filleth all in all. Amen. So now let's load the second image. Now let's focus on the words of life. Before the Lord presented the fruits of the Holy Ghost, the three verses before, it talks about things that they cause death. So now, we shall read the words of life that we meditated last Sunday, and we have brought everything in such a way, how the Lord unfolds the mystery of gospel. You see, when Jesus told them, fill the water pots with water. Amen. So he says, fill that vessel by which what it was supposed to be filled. But it is not now. So he's talking thing in a prophetical way. It is called water pots because it is going to be filled by the water. But as of now, that water pot has no water. So he prophesies saying that, fill the water pot with water, because he gave the name before the word comes in. See, calling the water pot before the water comes in is a prophetical way of saying what is going to happen in the churches for all of us. Now, when the Lord says, I am the Lord, open thy mouth wide and I will fill you. I will fill it. I will fill your heart up to the brim. This is what the Lord speaks to his children. But the Lord also takes another perspective where David said, Lord, blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole world earth will be filled with his glory. And in the same chapter, when we said, Lord, you lifted up your hand and they are filled with goodness. When Moses prayed, Joshua defeated the enemies. When Moses raised the hand, the Red Sea was divided into two. And David says, when the Lord lifts up his hand, people are filled with goodness. Filled with goodness. And we just read the verse from Daniel 2:5. The stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So now all these beautiful words of life are on the side of life, as we have a double-edged sword here. And the side of life, which is mainly focusing on the only message, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the lame was healed by the vessel, and he was able to stand upright. He was leaping in joy, was praising, walking. Amen. It is nothing but our spiritual life. The Lord saved all of us to walk with him. And this happened because of what we read in Ezekiel. The Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet. Apostle Peter told him, silver and gold I have none, but I will heal you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And set me upon my feet for what? Because the Spirit stayed with me and said unto me, go, shut thyself within thine house. So to do that, the Spirit filled me in, set me upon my feet, not just to stand on my own, because the Spirit of the Lord wanted me to go to my house and shut myself in. I cannot do it if the Spirit does not fill me in. The Lord says, if Bezalel is not filled with the Spirit, he cannot do the work of the tabernacle artisan work. He said, I fill with him, with my Spirit. Now he can do my work. Here the Spirit filled and set him upon my feet, because his only purpose is to go shut himself within thine house. Now, we talk about feet, and we know our calling, our feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Now let's read this beautiful verse that we just read about the church. All things under his feet, and gave him the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen. Holy Spirit filling the apostles on the day of Pentecost was the promise. Jesus said, I will send the Comforter. He says, my fullness will fill you the same way he was filled on the day of baptism when John the Baptist baptized him. God said, my fullness dwells in him. And now we have the promise here, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen. We finish the life side of the double-edged sword first. Then we meditate the words, then we go to the side of the dead.
And we just talked about the feet. We continue here what Apostle Paul said, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. This verse should come to your mind, your heart, whenever we say, my Lord, my Jesus, look beyond the cross. Amen. Look beyond the cross. What is behind the cross? You and me, all of us, all the souls that are part of the divine body of Christ. And say, behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Why Apostle Paul used the word my flesh? When God said, I will give them a heart of flesh, he speaks about what he made them to be. When Miriam was healthy, when she became a leper, the Lord threw her out of the camp. She was not allowed to come in until the flesh became healthy, a normal natural skin of flesh. The same one the Lord showed to Moses, asked him to take his hand and put it in his bosom, it became leper. And put it back, it became natural flesh. And the Lord tells, in a preservative way, concerning the transforming body of our lives to be the celestial one when the Lord come and take us home. Last Sunday we read this beautiful promise, blessed are they which do. When he says faith without works considered dead, and the Lord says, do my faith, do my belief, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they shall be filled. So whoever is hungry and thirsty after the righteousness, as we follow the ark, he is the righteous judge, he is our righteousness. As we follow him with hunger and thirst, not filled with some of our understanding, but the Lord says, be hungry, then I can fill you in. And this is the same verse what we read in Psalm, open your heart and mouth wide and I will fill you. And then, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. You see, hunger and thirst after righteousness will take you to the next stage, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruits of Holy Ghost. Then what is the fruits of righteousness? It's all the same. Amen. The fruits of righteousness is nothing but the fruits of Holy Ghost. We are nothing without the Spirit of the Lord. And with this fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So when we say whether we eat or drink, we do it to the glory of the Lord. Amen. Eat bread of life, drink his blood. And now, why we need these two promises? Because when Jesus said, after he returned from the temptation by the enemy, he was filled by Holy Ghost, led by the Spirit, he returned to Jerusalem and he spoke in front of the people when he opened the book of Isaiah, said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. See, anointed me to preach is nothing but the Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet. Because your feet shod with the preparation of preaching the gospel of peace. This anointed me to preach is nothing but feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Amen. Preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the broken hearted. We started this by Hebrews 4:12. Thoughts and intents of the heart, the sword discern, pierce it through, quick and sharp and powerful. When the sword pierces our heart, we may think it is causing some wounds. But the piercing of the sword of the Lord will always heal you. It will never harm us. It always heals us. It will never make us weary. It will make us more powerful, more confident, more passionate, more zealous for the Lord. Now, we are still on the life of the double-edged sword. Those who are hunger and thirst after righteousness, they are filled. The fruits of righteousness will be given to all of us, which is nothing but by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with these fruits, what we will do? What is our desire to do? What Jesus said. When Jesus said, as you hear this today, the scripture is fulfilled. Amen? He said this when he spoke the words of the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is resting upon me. He said, I came to heal the sick. I came to preach the gospel to the poor. But when Jesus said, you will do greater works than me, what he said? What the word was spoken concerning me, now I go to my Father, I send my Comforter, and you will do what I was doing. Not in the same way, but even in a more powerful way. That's why when Jesus said, people are listening. When Peter spoke, people are baptized. Because the ascension was there, sacrifice was there, atonement was there, our blood of Christ was there, comfort was there, then the manifestation takes place. Sowing was done, reaping takes place. The life of Jesus is nothing but sowing seeds. The life of apostles is all about reaping the harvest. Now, the ministry of reconciliation is all about harvest. Amen. Reap the harvest of the Lord. And for that, we start here. Ye also are full of goodness. Full of righteousness. Now we move on to full of goodness. Filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. This is the verse that is quite liked by all the so-called Christians. Filled with all knowledge. Oh, the Lord said it. The Bible says we should fill ourselves with all knowledge. So the more we learn, more the better. The more we understand, we can serve the Lord more. But you see how the word unfolds. Because the word of the Lord cannot be taken separately. Amen. It is the word of the Lord. One. The entire Bible, to the eyes of the Lord, it is one single word. For us, it is so many chapters, so many verses. But for the Lord, it is the spoken word. Amen. Word means singular. One Savior, one word, one bride, one baptism, one atonement, one sacrifice, one spirit. Everything is one, one, one. Now, we continue from here. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. Amen. Now, the Lord says, be filled with my goodness and you receive all knowledge. But the Lord says, be careful. My peace, the peace of God, surpasses all understanding. Whatever you can think of, the peace of God surpasses. It overflows. It always has dominion over all understanding. Now, we say, okay, Lord, grant me peace. But the next verse opens another layer. Oh, you want peace alone? Now let me tell you something. The Lord says, to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, the three verses, it forms a circle. It's in different parts of the Bible, but it forms a perfect cycle. Starts with the fullness of God, ends with the fullness of God, but that cycle is a journey. If we stop at somewhere, we might be stuck at somewhere. You see, you want to be full of goodness, good, start. The Lord says, filled with all knowledge, the revelation of truth, knowing Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus is the knowledge. Amen. But the peace of God surpasses all understanding. But the love of Christ, because as we sing the song, until we know the love of God, we know nothing. And the Bible says, to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge. He defends knowledge and he defeats knowledge here. Love of Christ passeth knowledge. Then what does it mean? My brothers and sisters, the love of Christ is the knowledge the Lord is asking all of us to hold on to. We may think, is it knowledge? Knowing Jesus is a revelation by the Spirit. The Spirit blessed all of us with agape love. The love of God is the foundation of truth. If we do not know the love of God, we do not know the truth. If we are not in agape love, we are not standing on the foundation of God. We are crawling somewhere outside the beautiful gate. And here it says, peace of God passes all understanding, love of Christ passes all knowledge, but ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Then again it comes back to the same, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We thank the Lord for opening the doors of understanding to know the love of God. Everything that the Lord is doing in this world, in our lives, in your life, in my life, in all the souls' life, is to know the love of Christ. It is equal to the truth. The day when we feel the love of Christ is the day the truth is revealed to you. If we do not know the pain of Calvary, how can we say, I believe in Jesus? If we do not feel the sacrifice, the love that He has for us, how can we say that I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior? To know means to experience, to be in the present. Amen. You see, we are not speaking. Let's say after the sermon, we walk on the road. Suddenly there is a dark storm. And in front of us, there is a dark cloud and there is a rain. I mean, it's raining. But the rain has not come to our sight yet. But our eyes can see the rain far away. We witness the rain. People are getting soaked. We see the rain. What we will say? Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful blessing for us to witness the pillar of cloud. And the rain is soaking all the souls. It's so beautiful to see. But what the Lord wants us to do? He wants us to go to that plain and be under the cloud so that His rain will fill you up. We are not here, or we are not called by the Lord to witness the cloud. We are called by the Lord to be under the cloud, to be under the filling of His Spirit, to be soaked, to be completely overflowed by the Spirit. That is why when Moses offered all the sacrifices, when he went to the tabernacle, when he worshipped the Lord, people were standing at the door of the tent. They were seeing what was happening to Moses. But Moses was inside the tabernacle, and Joshua did not depart from the tabernacle. And the Lord blessed them richly because He was speaking to them face to face. Those who witnessed everything, they did not walk into the promised land. So what the Lord says? The double-edged sword looks like a mirror. The Lord wants us to understand which side we are standing, life or death. Now, let's read Galatians 5, the three verses before the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Galatians chapter 5. We read from 22 to 23. Now, let's read from verse 16. Brother Clement, read this for me. You please read from 16 all the way to 26. Make it complete, yes.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousness, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Verse 16 to 26, it completes the whole word that says how the double-edged sword is placed. From 16 all the way to 21, the Bible talks about things that are against the fruit of the Holy Ghost before the Lord presented the fruits of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Verse 20, 21, all the words that we heard, the verse says, also I have told you in time past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Romans 1:29 says, these things that they do with pleasure, they are worthy of death. When the Bible says worthy of death, which means they have filled themselves up to the brim of something else to the extent that they have chosen the side of death. But Jesus said, fill the water pot with water. Now, when you are baptized in water, we go in and we come out. We thank the Lord, Lord, thank you, Lord, for washing me from my sin. I am born again by the Spirit. But what does it mean? What does it mean? When Jesus said, fill the water pot with water, and when we say, Lord, we are the church, fill up with your fullness. You see, we put ourselves inside the water pot. We imagine ourselves inside the water pot. And the Lord said, I will fill my Spirit above your head. Amen? And how He fills? Filling of the Holy Ghost is a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Not listening, not learning, not understanding. Filling is manifesting. When the fruit of Holy Ghost, when the Lord says, I fill you with my fruit, He said, my fruits have started manifesting in you. Because the word of the Lord is life, it lives. The Spirit of the Lord is life. It lives. The water is like a river. It flows, overflows. It doesn't stop. It cannot be stagnant. So the Lord keeps on filling us by His Spirit, and we are filled by the fruit. And when the filling overflows, it overflows in terms of gifts to serve the Lord. When Jesus said, draw some out from this pot and serve the feast, take it to the master. And the ruler of the feast tasted water that was made wine. Amen? He did not taste that wine. Taste the water that was made wine. The water was made wine because the water pot was there, standing firm for them to fill the water, and the water overflowed. The gifts are meant to serve the Lord. Now, but for the fruits, the Lord wants us to desire for His Spirit to fill us. Because opening wide, as we just discussed, opening wide, open your mouth wide, is actually denying our very own self, is the removal of this cup that is covering on the top. When it is removed, our heart is open for the Lord to fill in. Now we just listen to the words that what was read to all of us before presenting the gifts of Holy Ghost. So can we say God is love? The fruits of the Holy Ghost start with love. Faith, hope, love ends with love, because love is the foundation. Even if I have all knowledge, all wisdom, all understanding, all prophecy, but if I lack charity, I am nothing. So we know all these verses. But there are certain things the Lord hates. See, I was so blessed when I was meditating on this verse. And the Lord told us, love your enemies. Amen? Because God is love. If God is love, then why God hates? Proverbs teaches us a lesson. The Lord hates certain things. Amen? Hates. But God is love. We are called into His marvelous life of agape love. But He hates certain things. Not people. He hates certain things. That's why the Lord says, love your enemies, because they are not the true enemy. Lack of understanding is the big enemy that we are all fighting against, not the people. Amen? Now, let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things, amen? How many things? Six things. How many water pots? Water pot? Six water pots. These six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that may be swift in running into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And that is the last seven. Six days of creation, seventh day of rest, eighth day of new beginning, six water pots that represents us. And the Lord says, six church ages will see, and seventh church age will be the end. Amen? We are the last church age. We have to understand the crucial time that we are all in. We will be attacked, we will be dragged here and there by the world, our life, our work. We will be going through a lot of persecution, much worse than all the previous church ages, because we are near to the coming of the Lord. Amen? So the more and more the storms and persecution are coming, the more and more we should gather to keep the wildfire going on. And that wildfire is nothing but the water. See, when the Lord says the wise virgins, they fill their lamp with oil, He says the water pot fills the pot with water so that at the time of famine, they have water of life to live. At the time of darkness, the foolish virgins, they have no oil. But the wise virgins, they have the oil to ignite that light, because we are all called to be the lighthouse, the light bearers, to share the light, to spread the light, to shine the love to one another. And the Lord says, water, oil, and fire. Amen? Remember, when Mary was applying the oil for Jesus, the anointing oil, the sweet aroma filled the place. Amen? So oil brings that smell. Oil also helps to burn the flame. Water makes us to quench our thirst. But the quickening spirit also makes us to hungry again. You see how it works. The Lord will quench our thirst, but He will make us to hunger again. Because the Lord says, who do hunger now? Now means today. Every day the Lord wants us to be hungry, thirsty, because He is willing to fill. Why? the more and more he draws some out, he wants us to go back to him to fill the cup again. Because he never wants us to be out of the state of being filled up to the brim. When the cup is not filled up to the brim, that is where the weariness kicks in. So now, with this, what the Lord hates, we receive. And let's remember, six things what the Lord hates. And the Lord also wants to hate. Amen? See, when the Bible says we follow the Lord, we do what the Lord says. We love what the Lord loves. The Lord loves the fruit of Holy Ghost. And the Lord hates something else. The Lord says, love your enemies, but hate these things. The Bible says so beautifully. These are the six things. Not persons, not people. Now we are focusing on the other side of the double-edged sword, which will invite death. Joseph invited his family to the land. He invited them life. Why? Famine was about to hit. He gathered all his family in the land of Egypt because he already stored the food in the barn. He knows that he can take care of his family. These things will invite death. You see, don't be filled with the lust of the flesh. What we read in Proverbs 6:16-19 and also Galatians chapter 16-21, those things are against the things of the spirit. The things of the natural mind cannot receive the things of the spirit. Amen? So what the Lord says, be filled with my spirit, do not be filled with your natural things. The things of the lust of the flesh. Now, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Ephesians 5:18. Last Sunday we read this. Do not be drunk with wine, because the Lord called us to be filled with water. He will decide when the water will be turned to wine. And even there, the ruler will taste the water that was made wine. He will never taste the wine. The Lord do not want any wine to come to him. The Lord do not want any water to come to him. The Lord wants the water pot to stand firm, the place that was meant to be. The position, the placement, the planting, the sowing, what the Lord has given in our life. The Lord wants us to stand firm, be still, and know that I am God. When the Lord says, be still, stand firm, wait upon my feet, know that I am God means to know the love of Christ. Amen? To know the love of Christ, that surpasses all knowledge. So now, we are not called to be drunk with wine, knowledge or anything, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Hosea chapter 14, there is a beautiful verse. We learned during the Bible study as well. According to their pasture, so that they fill. What? According to their pasture, so that they fill. And again it comes, they were filled and their heart was exalted. And therefore they have forgotten me. Do you see any difference between the first verse and second verse? Both are same. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? And here we say, they were filled with something, and because of that, their heart exalted, and because of that, they forgotten me. Being filled with something is to forget the Lord. Forgetting the Lord. Which means the Lord says, you cannot know the love of Christ. You will forget me. If you forget, you are taking the side of unrighteousness, meant to be dead, called for death. Now, we read from Romans 1:29, filled with unrighteousness. That is how that verse begins. Amen? Filled with all unrighteousness. Then goes on the expansion. But filled with. Now what will happen if all these things fill our life? What will happen? We started the sermon with a very strong word, Revelation 15:1. The seven angels, having the sign for the seven plagues, filled up in the wrath of God. Amen? When Sodom and Gomorrah was burnt by the wrath of God, the Lord said, Lord, walk away. He said, go to the plain. I will send you rain. But here I am going to send the rain. But this rain is not the water. It's made of fire. He sent the rain of fire on one side. He sent the rain of water on the other side. He let them escape the wrath. But the one who decided not to listen to Lord or the Lord turned back, the wife became the pillar of salt. Similar to what happened to Miriam. Lord says, let your yes be yes or no be no. We cannot serve two masters. Amen? The double-edged sword is a beautiful warning of two masters is not possible in our life. Either life or death. There is nothing in between. Because the double-edged sword is separate. Divide means into two. Not to three. Not to four. Two. Only two. Life and death. Now, we have this. On the Lord side, the Lord says, repent, I am close to the contrite spirit, I am close to the broken heart. We often think, I am not a sinner, why should I repent? But every day, remember, the salvation the Lord has blessed us with, it is a gift, amen? Do you understand the purpose of the Lord giving us a gift? You see, He sent us into a forest, He gives you a precious jewel, and He tells you, I will meet you on the other side. These are the instructions. Remember what I said. There are some beasts. There will be some lion-like beasts, serpents. People will come and hurt you, will try to kill you. But the Comforter is with you. The word is spoken unto you. I will see you on the other side. So you are born, you live, go through your worldly struggles, everything. And the Lord is waiting for you on the other side of the forest. Until then, He wants you to keep that salvation with both your hands, holding firm. If you drop it, we are backsliding. And the Lord says, it is not a given, it is not something guaranteed. He says, today is the day. Now. Amen? And that's for the reason the Lord says, fill up, fill up, fill up. If we are not filled, we cannot serve. We just learned what we studied in Romans 1:29, all things of unrighteousness. And we studied in Galatians, the blessings, the fruits of the Holy Ghost. And Proverbs, it tells those seven things that are hated by the Lord. The Lord is holy, in Him there is no darkness. The Lord is light, and He do not dwell in darkness. He repels, He rejects. Sodom and Gomorrah is an example of darkness. He could not see, you know, on the surface of the earth. He burnt it down into ashes. Not even pieces, into ashes. Now, here, the seven things that the Lord hates in Proverbs, I request all of you to focus on the key words. Proud look. Focusing on the eyes. Amen? Proud look. The Lord says, what you are filled with can be seen in your eye. Because the light is filling all of us through the eyes. The spiritual eyes, our faith. Amen? Faith is the set of eyes the Lord has given us. And the Lord says, I will fill you with my light. That is how the eyes are the light of the house of the body. Amen? Now, proud look. Second, lying tongue. From eyes, we move to the next body member, tongues. Because that is where the words are coming out from the deepest desire of our heart. Utterance. Tongue, no man can tame. Amen? The tongue that no man can tame. Which can bring forth life and death. Next, hand that shed innocent blood. In the Bible, the hands are very important. Amen? The potter, He made us from clay to a pot. The Lord hold all of us with His, He uphold all of us with His righteous hand. He shields us with His mighty hand. And we do the work of His hand. And He says, whatever the right hand do, your left hand should not remember. He compares the hand to the work of the Lord. We are called to do the work of the Lord, not to be the murderers. We may think, I'm not killing anyone, I'm not attacking anyone, but the Bible says, if you think of hating your brother, you killed him in your heart. Now, feet that might be swift in running to mischief. We just read the verses on feet. All things are under His feet. Mary was at His feet. Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet. The feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Feet, feet, feet. And we are established in the present truth on the foundation of God. And now we say, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Stand firm, be still. This is on the other side. Feet that wander. A false witness that speaketh lies. In this one, we might be distracted by the word false witness. But actually, the key word is speaketh. False witness that speaketh lies. Then why there is another one, lying tongue? Have you thought about it? There are two, same, similar, not same. Lying tongue and a false witness that speaketh lies. Can you see why? What is the name of the Lord in Revelation chapter 1? He is the true and faithful witness. Amen? Amen? True and faithful witness. It's the name of the Lord. Can you see the both lying tongue against the truth? False witness against the faithful witness. Do you see that? Faithful witness, false witness, the tongue of truth, the tongue of lies, lying tongue. Anything that is against the truth of the Lord is seen as a lie. But false witness is something more serious, because we tend to spread the lies. We tend to mischief people, deceive people, all those false prophets, all those so-called Church of God, which are established on the very simple motivation of making money. Shame unto them. Shame unto everyone. Shame also for us. Anything other than serving the Lord, if it is in our heart, we are worshipping some idol. We are a false witness that speaketh lies. We are called to hold on to the word and speak the word and to serve the Lord exactly how the Lord wants us to serve Him. Not in our mind. All these things the Lord hates. The last one, He that soweth discord among brethren. Our God is called as a gardener who sows seeds of life. And those seeds take time to manifest. And this spiritual man, he didn't simply appear. He was a spiritual babe, and the Lord was feeding him spiritual milk to make him to grow to a stage whereby He can fill him with His spirit to be fruitful for Him. Amen? Repentance is the only barrier that is standing between those people to be delivered from those things that are hated by the Lord. Amen? Now, let's bring all two together. We saw the sword of the Lord, the double-edged sword that pierces into the soul and spirit, divides joints and marrows, divides thoughts and intents. We may think, what is the difference between thoughts and intents? Intents are deeper, thoughts are a surface. It is just before you speak. But intents are your counsel. The Lord will go to the extent to see your counsel. Now, life side, we have positioned all the fruits that we must be filled with by the Lord. He wants us to do only this work, self. Self, that is the only thing that you want to do. Remove thyself. Now, things of the life, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. These are called the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet. Entered into me, set me upon my feet. I walk and I praise the Lord. Amen? Now, the double-edged sword is here. On the other side, death. What we read in Romans 1:29 and in Galatians 16:21 concerning the things that are against the righteousness, and Proverbs 6:16 concerning the things that the Lord hates. We put all this together, you see how beautifully it takes place. Love, hatred, joy, wrath, peace, strife, variance, selfishness, uncleanness, idolatry, adultery, fornication, witchcraft, seditions, emulations, revelings, envyings, drunkenness, murders, lasciviousness. See, all these things we should not see as things of the flesh. Every single word is the Lord wants us to link it to the book of Revelation. Harlotry is spiritual harlotry. Fornication is spiritual fornication. Because the last Adam is the quickening spirit. The Eve, the bride, we are all the spiritual bride, the word bride. And the E, all these words are focusing on our feet that is standing upon the foundation of God. The Lord wants us to be clothed by the white garment that He will give, not the another white garment that we may clothe. Water pot with water that is from the Lord. Amen. The word of the Lord divides life and death. And the Lord has called all of us to hold on to this. That is the reason our feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Because on this side, the Lord says, He is mighty in the battle. Vengeance belongs to Him. Judgment is done by Him. He wants us to be the light bearers to spread the gospel to the souls who are waiting for His truth. Last verse before I close. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We continue next week. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the one body being many, or one body, so also is Christ. You see verse 13, with spiritually with your faith. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The ruler of the feast tasted that water that was made into wine. And Jesus said, fill the water pot with water. Amen. May the Lord guide us. Let's all stand and pray and close.
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, because you called all of us to be your water pots. You called all of us to be your vessels. And Lord, you called all of us to be your children. Lord, we are all here, O Lord, with a desire in our heart to be filled with thy Spirit, to be of fruitful and meaningful in thy perfect will for all of us, to fill the whole earth with thy glory, O Lord. Lord, may you bless us with the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Ghost to be filled, so that, O Lord, we will live a life that shows you, that shines you to the souls who are walking in darkness. May you help us to stand firm on the way of holiness, and may you help us to be those water pots of stone that cannot be moved, but are steadfast, rooted deep in the root of the agape love. We thank you, Lord, for the promises, and we believe in the mighty name of Jesus. Your presence will lead us, and we will follow thee, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.